want to invite you to take God's word and turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. This past Wednesday began what is known in the Christian church as Lent. And it is 40 days leading up to Easter, and so many believers across the world during this season decide to just kind of up their spiritual game, if you will. Some choose to fast for a meal a day or a day at a time. Some choose to fast from social media or media. Others choose to just take their devotional life a little bit deeper. The idea is that leading up to Easter for the next 40 days, we just make our spiritual senses a little bit sharper. We press in a little bit more. We devote ourselves a little bit deeper to God's Word. And I want to challenge you and encourage you as we do journey with Jesus to Easter, that if the Spirit of God leads you in any way to fast or to increase the time you spend in your devotional time alone with the Lord, I would really encourage you to do it. Just thinking on and reflecting and remembering, especially as we look to the Resurrection Sunday, of the price paid for us, His blood poured out for us. It is good to think on these things. And the goal of this new series, we're calling Never the Same, is to do just that. We're going to take the next 7 weeks leading up to Easter, and we're going to journey with Jesus. And we're going to see some one-on-one encounters that Jesus had with different people from all different walks of life. And I love this about Jesus. Jesus was always with people. He loved people. And we're going to get to look at some encounters that Jesus has. We'll see him encounter the broken and down and out. People like the woman caught in adultery, or next week the woman at the well in Samaria. We're going to see him have conversations one-on-one with some of his disciples who were going through some hard times in life, some that had some questions and fears that Jesus meets with and has conversations with. We're going to see an encounter today with a religious man by the name of Nicodemus. And here's what we're going to see in every encounter that we look at over the next 7 weeks. We're going to learn this, that when people encounter Jesus, they are never the same. When people have an encounter with Jesus, they are never the same. If you're taking notes, and I encourage you to each week, just engage with the scriptures. The title of the message today is Q&A with Jesus. Can you imagine for a moment what it would have been like to be alive at the time that Jesus physically walked the earth? I mean, just imagine it. I want you to take it a step further. And I want you to imagine getting to spend one evening with Jesus, one-on-one, no distractions, no interruptions. This is what's taking place here in John chapter 3. We're getting the chance to eavesdrop on a personal conversation, read about an encounter that takes place between Jesus and a very religious man by the name of Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, I think, is doing what every single one of us would be doing if we had some uninterrupted one-on-one time with Jesus, and that is Nicodemus begins peppering him with questions. What would you ask Jesus if you had some one-on-one time with him? I mean, I got questions right now that I would ask him. Like, one, why would you allow J.J. Watt to be released the year that I moved to Houston? That would be one question I would ask. Or would you consider next time you send an ice apocalypse to Houston to make sure that electrical grid system is up and running? That's a question that I would ask. What would you ask Jesus if you got to spend some one-on-one time with him? I guarantee you'd ask him something that's weighing on your heart. There was someone sick that you loved, I bet you'd ask him, Jesus, can you heal him? Will you heal him? Very minimum, how's this situation going to turn out? If you were confused by something you read in the scriptures, maybe you would ask him, Jesus, can you clarify this for me? Or maybe there's some fears in your life that you can't get past, can't get over. Maybe you would ask Jesus just for some counsel, some words of advice. Jesus, how do you get past this fear? If we had a one-on-one, uninterrupted conversation with Jesus, we would do exactly what Nicodemus is doing here, and that is asking Jesus some things that are weighing on our heart. Now, before we get into this conversation, I want us to learn a little bit about Nicodemus, because what we learn about Nicodemus is going to tell us a little bit about the questions that he asked of Jesus. And you see it here in verse 1. Let's look at the text together. The Bible says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews." Now, there's a lot in that verse we need to unpack. First of all, what we know about Nicodemus is that he was a very religious man, uber religious, if you will. He was a Pharisee. It's a word that comes from another word meaning to separate, and that's exactly what the Pharisees did. That was their goal. It was to separate themselves from anything that was unholy, anything that was unclean. They were extremely pious, extremely zealous about obeying the laws of God. The Pharisees are the ones who they would have been taking leadership in the local synagogues, reading the scriptures. They were seen as spiritual guides. They knew the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, they knew them backwards and forwards. Most of them had it memorized. Now, that's really impressive because I have four kids and I call them by the wrong name every time. They had the first five books of the Bible memorized. If anyone had the appearance of having it all together, it was the Pharisees. I mean, this is who you went to if you had tough questions about life or spiritual matters. These were the educated men, the distinguished men in society. They were respected for the most part. Nicodemus was all this and more. And I say more because if you notice in verse 1, the Bible adds something else to that of Nicodemus being a Pharisee, saying he was a ruler of the Jews. Most likely a reference to him being a member of the Sanhedrin. Now, that's a big deal. In your minds, just think the Jewish Supreme Court. There are only 71 of them, and he was one of them, a ruler of the Jews. This is an elite crew that Nicodemus is a part of. He could have determined cases involving the Jewish law that, again, people were going through, people were experiencing from a religious, from a professional, from a spiritual standpoint, societal standpoint. Nicodemus was at the top of his game. And the Bible says that he comes to Jesus in the night. Look at it there in verse 2. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Now, very interesting that Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the night. A lot's been made of this. Some suggest that maybe Nicodemus came to Jesus in the night because he didn't want to be seen with Jesus. It wouldn't have done well for his reputation. Nicodemus was a man of clout, and to be seen meeting with the street preacher, I mean, no, that wasn't for Nicodemus. If anybody saw them, maybe that would give credibility to the ministry of Jesus that the Pharisees just weren't ready or willing to give to Jesus. Others suggest that maybe Nicodemus came to Jesus because he was so busy during the day, Jesus, that this was his only opportunity to have some uninterrupted time alone with him. And he knows something's different about Jesus. I mean, you couldn't deny the healing ministry of Jesus. These were signs, John calls them, that Jesus was performing. And it appears that Nicodemus is very sincere in coming to Jesus. He calls him Rabbi, shows great respect. I mean, Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was a rabbi, a teacher. And here he comes to Jesus and he says, "Rabbi," readily admitting something's different about you, Jesus. He's trying to wrap his mind around who this man is. And I want you to notice how Jesus responds to Nicodemus there in verse 3. I love it. The Bible says, "Jesus answered." Now, interestingly, you go back to verse 2, Nicodemus didn't vocalize a question. We'll get to that in just a moment. But Jesus answers him and says, "Truly, truly, I say to you." He's trying to get Nicodemus' attention. Truly, truly. It's the equivalent of, you know, when you were younger and you were in trouble or your parents wanted to get your attention and they called you by your first and your middle name, you knew, all right, I better listen up, they're serious. That's Nicodemus. That's Jesus with Nicodemus. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Question and answer time. Q&A with Jesus. And I love this because Jesus, right here, answers a question right off the bat that Nicodemus didn't even ask vocally, didn't even verbalize it. It was a question of his heart. See, this is the thing about Jesus. He knows what's in your heart. John chapter 3, this is brilliant insight, follows John chapter 2. And if you look back at John chapter 2, look at verse 24. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them, that is the crowds at Passover, because he knew all people. Again, John's just emphasizing Jesus as deity, God in the flesh. He knows people. He knows what's in our hearts. He knew the question that Nicodemus was really asking in his heart before Nicodemus even asked it. He knows you. Like, right now, knows what's in your heart. Knows the questions that you have. Knows the doubts that you're experiencing. Knows the fears that keep you up at night. Jesus knows exactly what's in your heart, what burdens you're carrying. He knows you. And he knew what Nicodemus was really getting after. He just wouldn't come out and say it. See, look back at verse 3. He says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, for a Pharisee like Nicodemus, for any God-fearing Jew for that matter, the kingdom of God was everything. It represented all that they hoped for, all that they had ever dreamed of. The kingdom of God is what the prophets of old spoke of. It's what the scripture they studied pointed to. That this Messiah would come and he would work signs and wonders and then he would usher in and initiate his kingdom, the kingdom of God. Nicodemus sees the signs that Jesus is performing. He says, God's got to be behind this. And the question that he's really asking is, Jesus, is the kingdom of God here? It's what he had been waiting on his entire life. It's what he had been raised in as a little boy. And he's just asking Jesus, is the kingdom of God here? And get this, in Nicodemus's mind, if there was anybody that was a shoe-in to go with the Messiah into the kingdom of God, it was him. Because Nicodemus believed to get into the kingdom of God, you had to be of the right descent and lineage. Check it off. He was of Father Abraham, pure-blooded Jew. To get into the kingdom of God, you had to obey all of the laws and the commands. He's a Pharisee, set apart. If anybody's obeying him, he is. Check it off. You had to observe the religious holidays and festivals and be a part of the holy days. Check it off the list. I'm telling you, if there is anyone that was a number one draft pick to get into the kingdom of God, it was Nicodemus. And so he comes to Jesus with this question that's on his heart. Is the kingdom here? Because he's ready to enter it, he thinks. And look at how Jesus responds to him again in verse 3. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is what we call a gut punch. That's what we call a shot to the proverbial jugular. Jesus, in one instance, answers a question that was really in Nicodemus's mind and heart. And I'm telling you, the way that Jesus answered this question knocked the breath out of him. New Testament scholar Leon Morris said this, in one sentence, Jesus sweeps away all that Nicodemus stood for and demands that he be remade by the power of God. In other words, what Jesus tells Nicodemus is, Nicodemus, the kingdom of God is here. It's standing right in front of you. But you don't enter the kingdom of God based on who you are, what your name is, what you do. Only way you get into the kingdom of God is for you to be born again. Another way to translate it is, you must be born from above. And that's when Nicodemus begins to verbalize his questions. Question number one was in his heart, is the kingdom of God here? Question number two, he asked out loud. Jesus has him thinking now, how can somebody be born again? Look at it in verse 4. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now don't read ignorance into this question. Remember, Nicodemus is a brilliant man, a learned scholar. He's getting clarification here. He wants to make sure that he's heard it correctly. Born again? Born from above? How does this happen? By the way, we'll come back to this at the end of the message today, but I just want to encourage you this. Jesus can handle all of your questions. Jesus can handle your questions. He can certainly handle this one from Nicodemus. You just got to bring them to him. And in verse 5, he answers again, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You've got to be born of the water and Spirit. Now, what Jesus is doing in this moment, I believe, is using language that Nicodemus would have been very familiar with. Water and Spirit were often combined, specifically in the prophets. Like, in your time alone with the Lord this week, look at Ezekiel chapter 36, especially verse 26. Because the prophet talks about when the Messiah comes on the scene, water and Spirit represented spiritual renewal, spiritual cleansing. God was going to do something. He was going to put a new heart in people. He was going to put a new spirit in people. Commentator John Phillips writes it like this, water and Spirit are not separate concepts, but a unified force where the Spirit pours out cleansing and forgiveness and renewal as water. In other words, when one is born from above, when one is born again, he is purified and transformed by the Spirit. The point that Jesus is making is he's saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, being born again, you want into the kingdom of God. You got to be born from above. And being born again, born from above, is not something you can do. It's not something that you can conjure up. It's not something that you can achieve. It's not something that you can control. And Jesus, the master teacher, is not only teaching a truth, but look in verses 6 through 8. He illustrates that truth. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said, you must be born again. Second time, you must be. There's a necessity here. Nicodemus, if you want into the kingdom of God, you must be born again. No other options. He says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Essentially, what Jesus is saying is, Nicodemus, to be born again, to be born from above, it's not something that needs to be explained as much as it needs to be experienced. It's a miracle. You're not going to be able to wrap your finite mind around this. He says, it's like the wind. You don't see the wind, but you see the effects of the wind. And Nicodemus, just because you can't fit this in your box, just because you can't rationalize it, just because you can't figure out the argument to it, doesn't mean it's not real. I like how the old country preacher said, he said, look, I don't understand how a brown cow can eat green grass that produces yellow butter and white milk. He said, but I like butter and I drink milk. Just because you can't understand it doesn't mean it isn't real. What Jesus is saying in this moment is, Nicodemus, being born again, being born from above is something only God can do. It's something only the Spirit can initiate. And it's at this point Nicodemus asks his third question. I think this is the most critical part of the encounter with Jesus. Look at it there in verse 9. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? I love this because we see the sheer humanity of Nicodemus. A man who, in the eyes of the world, I mean, he has it all. He's got wealth. He's got influence. He's got power. He's looked up to. He's respected. And yet he's a man with all of these things that deep inside of him, he knows something is missing. I mean, that's as real as it gets. Nicodemus is the religious of the religious. But he knows something's missing. I mean, he's the one that people would go to with their questions, and now he's the one with questions on spiritual matters that he wants to get answered. And I tend to think this is why Nicodemus came to Jesus in the first place. Because I think as a very religious man, and let's be honest, some of us are in the same vein of religiosity as Nicodemus is, and it's tiresome. Meaning we believe our standing before God is based on what we do, what we can achieve, the laws we obey, the commands we perform. When we do these things, that's when God is honored. That's when God is pleased with us, we think. And living like that is no way to live at all. That is a religious treadmill that you cannot get off of. And I think Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the night because he knows he's the one that's supposed to have the answers, and yet deep on the inside, he is missing something. And I just got to believe that this morning during this message, I'm talking to a lot of people in this room and that are watching online that are just like Nicodemus. You're a good person. You're moral. You're religious. You're respected by people. But just like Nicodemus, you know something is missing. And I'm telling you what is missing is what Jesus says here. You must be born again. It's been said that every person that is born once will die twice. Once a physical death and then a spiritual death. But every person that is born twice, born physically and then born spiritually, born again, will only die once. That's a physical death. Nicodemus is trying to wrap his finite mind around the infinite God. And after a few questions, Jesus just does a little role reversal. So you ask me some questions, Nicodemus. I got a question for you. Look at it in verse 10. And Jesus answered him and said, "Are you the teacher of Israel? And yet you don't understand these things?" See, you can be bright and you can be brilliant just like Nicodemus. But until the Spirit of God invades your life and softens your heart and unveils your eyes, you will remain in spiritual darkness. And I'm praying and have been praying this week as I've studied for this passage of Scripture, praying right now in my spirit that if you're here today and you're in spiritual darkness, you've never been born from above, I'm praying that today is the day of your salvation. That today you trust in Him. That you look to Him by faith. And that's what Jesus calls for. And He calls for this in illustrating to Moses a story out of Moses' life. Look at it there in verses 11 through 15. The Bible says, "Truly, truly, a third time, Nicodemus, listen in. I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" This word believe here, very important word. Jesus is going to use it seven more times in this encounter with Nicodemus. What he's saying is, Nicodemus, the issue is not about knowledge. Being born again is not about what you know. It's about what you believe. It's simple faith and trust. It's not just belief with the mental assent, it's belief with the heart. And he gives this illustration right out of Numbers chapter 21. Verse 13 says, "No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness." Again, he's speaking Nicodemus' vocabulary. Numbers chapter 21, read it in your own time alone with the Lord this week. Do you remember what happens? The Israelites, Moses is leading them around the wilderness, and they're complaining and they're murmuring. And so you know what God does? He sends venomous snakes out to bite the Israelites. Read that to your children at bedtime. Many Israelites die, and God commands Moses, you make a bronze serpent, and you put it on a staff, and you go out to the people of Israel, and you lift it up, and you tell them that if they want to be healed, all they have to do is look into that serpent. It was an act of faith. They didn't do anything for their healing. They had to look to. They had to believe. Jesus draws that parallel, and look at what he says there at the end of verse 14. So must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's the cross. Jesus on the cross must be lifted up, that whoever believes, whoever looks to him, will have eternal life. Nicodemus was looking for the kingdom of God, and Jesus taught him in this one encounter, this one Q&A session, that you only get into the kingdom by being born again, by being born from above. Not by religious achievement, not by being born into a Christian family, not by anything you can do. You must be born again. And how are people born again? Simple belief, looking to Jesus. John would write earlier in his gospel, John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, who looked to him, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Beautiful. Now we only have this one conversation with Nicodemus. And we really don't even know how it ended. We believe that Nicodemus ultimately ended up following Jesus. Let me tell you why. Because Nicodemus' name is mentioned two more times in John's gospel. Once it's mentioned in John chapter 7. Jesus, they want to arrest Jesus and bring him in. And Nicodemus stands up and publicly defends Jesus and actually quotes a law, because he was a scholar in the law, that gives Jesus an out. The third time we see Nicodemus is right after Jesus dies on the cross. John chapter 19, I just want to read it to you, verses 38 through 40. The Bible says this, after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission, so he came and took away the body. Watch this. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. And so they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen clothes with spices, as the burial custom of the Jews. Nicodemus, caring for the body of what I believe he knew to be his Lord. It's interesting to me, the first time we see Nicodemus, he's approaching Jesus in the middle of the night. And then after this encounter, the other two times that he's mentioned, he's publicly defending Jesus, standing for him, taking care of his body. An encounter with Jesus. A Q&A with Jesus, and I believe Nicodemus was never the same. Question for you. Have you had an encounter with Jesus? You can. You can have it today. And just pulling some truths out of this passage of Scripture. If you want to have a legitimate encounter with Jesus, let me just encourage you, number one, if you're taking notes, write it down, you come to Jesus in sincerity. That's what Nicodemus did. A sincere seeker. He wasn't looking for answers to Jesus. He didn't come to Jesus with his mind already made up. I want to encourage you to come to Jesus in the exact same way. Jesus never turns away people who are sincerely seeking him. In fact, the Scripture teaches the opposite is the case. If you're sincerely seeking him, the Bible says you will be found by him. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. It's speaking of wisdom there, but the wisdom personified is the person of Jesus. Those who seek me diligently will find me. Matthew 7, 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. You come to Jesus in sincerity, and chances are highly likely you will find what, and I probably should say you will find who you are looking for. And I mentioned earlier, Christians, Jesus can handle your questions. And if you have been born from above, you are a born-again believer in Christ, then you do realize with God's word in your hand, you can open this up and God's Spirit living in you every single day, you can have an encounter with Christ. And you can bring your questions to Jesus. And with an open Bible, this word of God, the Spirit of God, Jesus will read your heart just like he read Nicodemus's that day. You bring your questions to him. Come to him in sincerity. Secondly, come to him in humility. You want an encounter with Jesus? Come to him in humility. The only person Jesus is going to turn down is the person who refuses to admit that they need him. Jesus will never turn those away who humbly come after him. You notice in this episode, when Nicodemus comes to Jesus, Jesus didn't go, "Oh, Nicodemus, about time you swallowed that pride and came to me." Nicodemus didn't say, "Oh, Mr. Religious Know-It-All doesn't quite know it all, does he?" Jesus didn't say, "Nicodemus, I'm not answering your questions. You want to talk to me? Meet me in the public square at high noon where everybody is so everybody can see you talking to me." Jesus doesn't do any of that. He welcomes Nicodemus with open arms. He's not put out for maybe his plans being interrupted. He welcomes him. He answers his questions because he loves Nicodemus. I want to remind you the very next verse, most famous verse in all of the Bible. John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." I wonder if Jesus, when talking to Nicodemus, does what we often do and said, and just paused right there, and John just did record it and said, "Nicodemus, I want you to put your name right there. For God so loves you, Nicodemus." And you can put your name there. And those of you watching online, you can put your name there. "For God so loves you that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, that means you, might have eternal life." Puritan pastor Richard Baxter, he saw that word "whoever" there. And he said this, "I thank God for that little phrase, whosoever. For had the Bible said if Richard Baxter would believe, I would suppose that he were referring to some other Richard Baxter. But because he said, whosoever believes, I know he's talking about me as well." You come to Jesus in sincerity. You come to Jesus in humility. And I'm telling you, you will encounter Jesus and you will leave never the same. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. This is the most sacred part of our services. And so I would just ask that Christians be praying for the person on your right, praying for the person on your left. You never know what someone came into this room with. And there are some that came in here thinking you needed one thing. But God, by the power of his Holy Spirit today, has showed you what you really need is to be born again, to be born from above. And I want to encourage you in this moment, if that's you, to look to him by faith. Just as Moses lifted up that serpent, and the Israelites looked and they were healed, I'm asking you today to look upon Jesus on the cross, who died in your place, shed his blood for you so that you could be made right with God. We're not made right with God by being religious, spiritual activity. We're made right with God by looking into him and receiving him into our life. It's a gift. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you need that gift of salvation, just pray a simple prayer of faith and ask Jesus in your heart, "Jesus, would you save me? just in your own words. Jesus, would you come into my heart? Just tell him, I want to have an encounter with you right now. Forgive me of my sin. Lord, I want to leave here never the same. I'm telling you, God will never turn you down if you come humbly and sincerely to him. You can leave, be changed forever. If you're online and you need to receive Christ, just type into the keypad right there the name Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, and our online pastors will follow up with you. We want to get your information, celebrate with you the decision that you're making right now. Just type in the name Jesus right there on the pad. There's some of you here today, you're Christians, but the reality is you've walked away from the Lord. And I don't know what brought you back to church today. I know what did. It's the Spirit of God, but here's what I want to encourage you with. Some of you are fearful to come back because you go, man, I don't want to fail God again. Or what is God going to do? I've been away from him and my life hadn't exactly been the right kind of living. Can I tell you what Jesus is going to do? He's going to do exactly for you what he did for Nicodemus. He's going to welcome you with open arms. He's going to answer your questions. He's going to show you steadfast love and faithfulness because that's who he is. Some of you in this time of invitation, in just a moment when we stand to sing, our pastors are going to be at the front of each of these aisles. They're going to be there in the balcony area at the exit sign, so you don't have to come all the way down here. If you prayed to receive Christ, I want you to come and share it with the pastor. Maybe you're away from the Lord and you want to come back to the Lord. You come and share it with the pastor. Let us pray for you. That's what we're here for. Some of you want to join Champion Forest. Maybe you're new to the area like me and you want to be a part of a church home. We're not a perfect church, but I'm telling you, we're a church that's going to lift high the name of Jesus. We're going to stand on his word. You want to be a part of a church like that, serves the community in Jesus' name? Come forward. Tell one of our pastors you want to join our church, and we'll sign you up for our membership class where you can then become a member of our church. I don't know what God is speaking to your heart. I do know this. At times of response, our only obligation to Jesus is to do what he's telling us to do. The Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. So if you sense the Spirit of God speaking to your heart, wherever you're sitting, when we stand and sing here in just a moment, I want you to step out to the aisle and just come down and tell the pastor, I'm trusting Christ. I want to join the church. I just need prayer. And Christians, we're praying for people on our right, left, in front, behind. We're asking God to move. Father, this is your time of invitation where you've spoken to hearts. We ask you to move. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.